Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and I'm joined today by RFERL Enterprise Editor Carl Schreck. We're going to talk a bit about Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual call-in show, The Direct Line, which is coming up on Thursday, June 20th. First, I want to ask Carl about an Enterprise story that he co-authored and that we issued a few hours ago, actually. It's an investigative report about a Russian man from the Volgograd region who lived and worked in Grozny in Chechnya and went missing, I think, almost 2 years ago. Investigators opened a murder probe, but were apparently getting nowhere and eventually suspended it. But now, as Carl and Sergei Khazov-Kasia report, there's new evidence suggesting that the missing man, whose name is or was Andrei Kobyshev, may have been swept up in a campaign of abuse and violence, sometimes fatal violence, against people perceived to be gay in Chechnya. Carl, this is a really chilling story. Tell me about this man and what you found out about his fate.
So Andrei Kobyshev was a man from the he's from the Volgograd region, and he had moved to Grozny in around November 2016. He was 48 years old. He had always lived at home with his mother and kind of in a very small village. And his family thought that he was going to Moscow to find work. And in fact, he had a second career that that his family didn't know about, that he was a massage therapist. And so he ended up going to Grozny, worked there for a few months, and worked at a banya there. And in March, around mid-March 2017, at the height of what rights groups call an anti-gay purge by Chechen authorities, he simply vanished. So his as a matter of protocol, eventually the investigative committee opened a murder probe. That's what they commonly do in missing persons cases. But there was no sign of him for 2 years. They eventually suspended the probe last year. Fast forward to February of this year, the lone person to publicly come forward with allegations that he was targeted in this anti-gay campaign sees a photograph of Kobyshev and says he saw this man in the same police cellar where he was allegedly being held by police in Grozny and allegedly beaten and tortured. So we now have an eyewitness who says Kobyshev was there in the basement. The Maxim Lapunov, the witness in the case, made this statement to his lawyer, and his lawyer has passed it on to the Russian government's human rights ombudswoman. What we did in our investigation, we went through about 500 pages of case files, and it's very bizarre. It has very bizarre details. First of all, on two separate occasions, train tickets were purchased in Kobyshev's name in the months after he disappeared, but there was no evidence that he was on either of those trains. And his mobile phone was recovered about a week after he was last seen in Grozny. It was recovered on a Moscow-bound train from Grozny, just found by a passenger who then called the relatives that were in the contact list and said, "Hey, we found this phone, but couldn't find the owner." At the time that this phone was found, according to testimony given by the witness in the case, Maxim Lapunov, he was still in a police cellar in Grozny. And the other aspect of our investigation I'd like to touch on is other documents included in the case materials we reviewed include billing information from from Kobyshev's mobile provider. And what it showed is specifically which cell towers his mobile phone was connecting with during the period in which he vanished and shortly before and after. And what we saw is that in the days after he was last seen, according to witness testimony, his phone began connecting almost exclusively with a cell tower that was about 250 meters away from the Chechen Interior Ministry and the police facility where Lapunov, the witness, claims to have been held. It's unclear whether investigators did any substantive analysis of the billing records. There may be more case materials that we haven't seen, but I saw no indication in the materials that we reviewed that any sort of analysis was done. After this witness testimony was presented to Putin's human rights ombudswoman, Tatiana Moskalkova, about 5 days after that, the investigative committee sent out a notice to various regional branches saying they were looking for Mr. Kobyashev in what appears to be a revived missing persons case.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to ask, has the case been sort of reopened? And have you heard anything more about what may have happened in terms of, you know, are they actually investigating the case now again?
What we know is that the ombudswoman's office passed along the witness testimony to the investigative committee. Mm-hmm. And we know that at least according to statements from the investigative committee, that the missing persons case has been resumed. Now, in their announcement, they gave no context whatsoever, just that we're looking for this individual.
Right.
That's the latest we know, and that was in March.
Is there any indication of how, I guess, investigators or how anyone believes his phone got on the train? I mean, it's quite interesting that the phone was near that the cell tower near the police. Is there any indication of how it got on the train? Like, was he on the train and was pulled off or something else? Or maybe there's no information about that.
Right. So all sorts of evidence that might be able to corroborate whether he was on the train or not. Investigators have been unable to recover it. Either they were told that the train manifest had gone missing, or that the cashier at the other train station where another ticket was bought in his name doesn't remember him. Regarding the phone, the relatives believe maybe someone or have suggested maybe someone just planted it on the train.
Right.
The mobile phones have played an interesting role in this in allegations of this anti-gay crackdown, in that several alleged victims say that police use their phones to basically lure other men suspected of being gay into police clutches.
Yeah, that's definitely a chilling story. One thing for me, it points up, and you know, that's the kind of story that's hard to get at. One thing for me, it points up is what I think rights activists say is kind of the long leash, or maybe no leash, that Putin has Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov on. I mean, obviously, news came out of this so-called gay purge, and you know, Kremlin critics and critics of Kadyrov say that he flouts Russian laws and the Russian constitution, and that Putin allows this or even encourages it, essentially because he thinks Kadyrov is his best bet for keeping Chechnya within Russia and avoiding more violence in Chechnya and the North Caucasus, at least for now. You know, but we have a lot of, you know, this type of story that's coming out and with reporting. Putin has his annual direct line coming up on Thursday. This is the usually hours-long live show shown on state TV in which he answers questions from the people, albeit filtered through the state media and his staff. Carl, we spoke about this a little earlier. I mean, do you think Putin might be asked about the fate of Kobyashev, or more generally about abuses against people who are gay or perceived to be gay in Chechnya?
I think that subject is highly unlikely to be addressed, and what is likely to be a very scripted event. And this is just not a subject Putin wants to address publicly. I think the Kremlin would prefer it simply to go away. The few times he's kind of addressed it, once at a meeting with Moskalkova, once at a meeting with Kadyrov, it's clear that that they don't want any part of this publicly. So, yeah, I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I mean, I seem to remember the meeting with Kadyrov, and you know, he kind of made noises that he was interested in hearing what was going on, but I don't think it went any further than that. I guess he may have called for an investigation, but I'm not sure we heard anything more about that. So, you know, I think as you say, it will be scripted. And Putin does use this usually this event to kind of burnish his image. And I think this one thing that he will address this time around is the situation with the media and with drug laws and law enforcement actions following the arrest and the release of Ivan Golunov, the Kommersant reporter who was detained and was charged with intending to sell drugs in large amounts, and then very quickly released after kind of an outcry by the media and civil society and others. So I think, you know, I think Putin is going to, you know, he obviously can't avoid and may want to speak about this. I think he'll try to make the most of it and sort of look like the right thing has been done, but also try to avoid letting things get out of control in the eyes of the Kremlin in terms of, you know, I think he'll basically try to suggest that, as usual, that the Kremlin is not involved in this type of court decision or any court decision or any decision by the police. Actually, sorry, it was a police announcement that the charges would be dropped. So to kind of use it to suggest that justice is being done, that there's a free media, and that sort of thing. So, you know, and there were rival protests. There was a rally yesterday for free media, but it was kind of it was allowed by the authorities, and critics, I think, of the government were saying that it was kind of a fake or a way to co-opt the what's going on after Golunov's detention and release. So that's one thing. Carl, does anything else jump out at you in terms of a topic Putin may want to address?
I think we can. If I can go out on a limb and predict, I think we'll get into some geopolitical stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some fiery and also wry rhetoric about the New York Times report about the United States allegedly targeting Russia's power grid. I think I would expect Putin to make that some fodder. Obviously, you're going to have you know, questions about complaining about various infrastructure problems in the regions, and I would expect I read that people in Krasnoyarsk are already preparing to complain about the lack of roads. So I think we'll see a little bit of that good czar, bad boyer stuff as well, a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's probably, yeah, I imagine it will be a mix of that kind of domestic thing where he, and I guess as in the Golunov case, there are scapegoats, and, you know, he can use it to tell regional leaders and regional officials to, you know, to get cracking on infrastructure and things like that. I also agree. Yeah, he is quite likely he may mention or be asked about the New York Times report. You know, some people have pointed out, you know, it's the type of thing he could use to, you know, to sort of step up claims or repeat kind of a mantra or that Russia is, you know, surrounded by enemies, or is being potentially under attack, so needs to defend itself. So that might be how he'll cast that. All right. Well, and we'll see how long it is. It usually goes a few hours. I think that's it for today. I'll be back next Monday to take a look again at the week ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, on Friday, please have a look at my newsletter, The Week in Russia. Thank you.